So we're continuing in our series, as you see, called Identity, Who We Are in Christ. So if you haven't been with us the last few weeks, we started a series way back in May and continued it as the school year started, where we work our way through the book of Ephesians and how the Ephesians is all about who our identity is in Christ and just practical implications of that. Because as I say, this is a question that all of us constantly wrestle with, like, who am I? What am I supposed to do with my life? It's something that people constantly wrestle with. And especially at a time where y'all are trying to find what is my identity, who am I? And it's so easy for us to place our identity in one thing over the other. But ultimately, our identity is in Christ and what that means. And so last week, we looked at how we are reconciled to God. And so tonight, we're going to look at how we are reconciled to one another and the importance of that, how there's this vertical reconciliation, but there's this horizontal reconciliation we need to have as well. And so I think a great way to think about it, as we look at Ephesians 2, 11 through 22, is one thought I had that hopefully y'all learned at school, at least I learned when I went through school, is the Rwandan genocide. Anybody learned about that in school? No. No one? Just me. All right. So does anyone know about the Rwandan genocide of 1994? A year before I was born. Okay. All right, then I guess I will do a quick rundown of what happened. So here's what happened with the Rwandan genocide. It was all about between two different groups, two different ethnic groups in Rwanda. There was the Hutus and the Tutsis. And the Hutus were the ethnic majority. The Tutsis were the ethnic minority. And then what happened is there was this president that came to power, and over the next about 20 years or so, since the Hutus were the ethnic majority, they wanted to massacre the Tutsis, which were the ethnic minority. And so after a while, what happened is eventually that went on. And then about 1992, there was this peace agreement that got struck between, because there was this political group of Tutsis that wanted to be in the political system. And so, all right, we're gonna make amends. We're going to try to have some sort of transition government to involve that. Well, there was extremists on the Hutu side that did not like that. And they did not like Hutu moderates that were okay with it, or Tutsis at all. And so what they end up doing is, they end up shooting down the plane that the president was in that put all this together. And then over the next few months, over 800,000 people end up getting murdered because of this extremist view of how they felt. And it was until someone stepped in, it was civil war between these groups. The government was even incentivized, saying, hey, if you turn people in, like, we'll give you drugs, we'll give you food, we'll give you money, we'll give you, like, all these sort of things. And it was awful until it finally eventually got ended. And eventually, it finally got resolved and was able to have a government with a Hutu president and a Tutsi vice president. But we would look at that, we'd go, man, that is so awful. Like, how could anyone ever do that? And it's a very horrific thing. But if there is one thing I've learned over the years, it is truly this, is that all of us have those exact same seeds in our heart that if we allow the world to water it, can grow into this sort of hatred. Now, it might not get to the extent of where we actually truly murder or harm someone, but it can lead to divisions. It can lead to different groups or cliques. And what we're going to see in the eyes of God is that breaks the heart of God when we see this. Because that is not what the gospel is meant to do. We see this all the time. And so, because the reality is, we as fallen, sinful human beings, we're born with this sin nature, and our natural tendency is we are prone to join with groups just like us. People that same way we dress, talk, act, same likes and interests. And I'm not saying those necessarily are bad, but when it excludes other people, or we're doing it to the extent where we don't want other people within that group, or we don't want to interact with other people, then that becomes a problem. Because in Christ, we are so much of a bigger family with so many different amazing people and backgrounds and stories that God gets to use on display. But he cannot display that if we are all in different groups doing our own different thing, not working together. And what we're going to see this is the reality is we might see this strife all the time in the world. We're like, how can these groups come together? And here's the reality. Here's the main point for tonight's message is this. In Christ, we're able to be made right with God and with one another. And we cannot have one without the other. We cannot be made right with one another until we're made right with God first. And that's what we're going to see in this passage. So let's look at this passage together. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. So this is what it says. So this is the word of the Lord. So then, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands. And at that time, you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. And in his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. And he did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. And in him, the whole building being put together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. Let's pray, and then we will jump in and study this text. So, dear Lord, thank you so much for your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we come and study it, Holy Spirit, would you just humble all of our hearts and submit it to your word? Reveal sins in our lives that we need to confess to you and turn from. Would you give us encouraging truths for our souls to help us in this? Would you guide me as I teach this? Would you guide all of us to help us understand it and process it and receive it and live it out? And help us let it grow more in our relationship with you, Lord Jesus, and more in our relationship with one another, so we can be the followers you've called us to be, but also, as we're going to see tonight, the family that you've called us to be. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there is three truths that we are to get out of this passage. So if we are to be made right with God and one another, there's three truths we need to remember. And there's three different rememberings we need to do. The first one is this. We need to remember who you were before being reconciled to God. And so that's exactly what Paul does. Paul says, look, at one point, remember, at one time, you were Gentiles in the flesh. And so what that means is, in the flesh, that is what we saw last week in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. We were dead in our sins, we were following the ways of this world, we were slaves to Satan, we were giving in to all these different temptations, and we were children under wrath. Because Gentiles did not have access to the gospel of salvation like the Jews did. Gentiles were called uncircumcised by those who were circumcised, which were the Jews. However, this circumcision the Jews did, it was very much this external act they would do. Like, yes, it was in accordance like with the law, but it was just whatever, it's tradition, I'll do it. There was no connection to God for it. So it was almost like a source of pride, like, well, look, I did this, and you're not part of that. So you're outside of our group. And so because you're outside of our group, you're not a part of this. And here's the reality is that we have to understand, Jews and Gentiles hated each other. Like, they despised one another. Gentiles, they thought anyone outside of their cities, they were called pagans. So Jews would be considered pagans. And Jews, anyone outside of a Jew, they would be considered Gentiles. So unless you're born Jewish, you and I, we are all Gentiles. And so if we're outside that covenant relationship with God, Jews would call Gentiles dogs, like dirty animals. Like these two groups hated each other. And so Paul's like, look, you Gentiles, remember who you were. You were outside of Christ. You were without hope. That's what it says in verse 12. You're without hope. You're without Christ. You're excluded from the citizenship of Israel. You're foreigners to all these promises. So Paul says, remember what happened. Just literally the last 10 verses I just said before this. You were dead in your sins. You had no hope. But then God made you alive in Christ. You had no hope without this. It says they're excluded from the citizenship of Israel. Israel is God's chosen people. And so Gentiles weren't a part of that at this time. So they were outside of this. It says they were foreigners to the covenants of promise. So essentially God made a covenant with the Israelites and patriarchs of the past, like Abraham, I'll make you a father of many nations, Moses, all these sort of things. Gentiles were outside of that because they weren't Jewish. It says they were without hope, which means Gentiles were without hope in this life and the life to come. They didn't have this hope that Jews could have had without God in the world. So they would deal with all this pain and suffering and harm, and they wouldn't have this hope that can come through Christ. And so because the reason why is because they didn't believe in the one true God. Gentiles had all these other gods they would believe in, but they didn't acknowledge the one true God, hence why they didn't have knowledge of him. And sometimes it's important for us to remember who we were before we were saved. Like, have you ever just taken time to think about who you were before you met Jesus. Like, just think about what sins did you struggle with? What hardships were you going through? What was life like before then? Because sometimes it helps us to remember who we were before we met Jesus, to see how far he's brought us, to see how much we've even changed and transformed, whether it be over a few months or a few years. In fact, in Revelation 2, 1 through 7, way later on at the end of the Bible, is with the church of Ephesus, just like Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus here, the Apostle John gets this vision that God gives him about an angel visiting the church at Ephesus, the same church. And we're saying, hey, like, you're doing all these good deeds, you're doing all these things, but there's one thing I hold against you. You have forgotten your first love. They were doing all these good things, but they forgot the whole reason why they were doing these things, which was Jesus. And that's the whole reason why we do this. That's why we gather here. That's why we do these things. It's for Jesus. And if we ever just gather to study God's word in small groups, but forget it's all about Jesus and us being transformed by Jesus and us going and sharing our faith in Jesus, then what's the point? That's the goal of this. We must never forget who we were before we came to know Christ and all the ways that Christ has worked in our lives. And maybe he's still working in our lives. Maybe we're still going through hardships, but he's been faithful to help you through. Maybe one way for you to think about, at least I thought about it, is like, anybody get like Facebook or Instagram memories that pop up like, man, on this day, 2 years ago, check out what picture you posted. Anybody? Anybody get really cringy when they see some of those pictures? Like, oh, I used to be like that. I see some pictures now when I was a teenager and I go, oh, Rebecca would not date me at the time if we were both teenagers. She would not. But it's so funny when we see that. It's like, man, look how much I've grown and changed in just those few years. It's incredible to think about. I even looked at it today. I was like, well, I wonder what happened today. And I think it was four years ago, I remember I posted saying, man, Rebecca and I are down into double digits before we get married. 99 days until we get married. Or, fun fact, I saw apparently on this day, 1 year ago, I became Facebook friends with Julie and Dana and Jim and Ashley Anderson. So I think that was when everyone was starting to Facebook stalk me. So I was starting to come here, or my not-so-secret visit of what happened. And it was just cool just seeing that change and what's even happened since then. Like, it's incredible seeing the change. And that's important for us. If we're going to be reconciled to one another, we got to remember who we were before Christ. Because what we're going to see is all of us are the exact same in God's eyes. All of us need Jesus. And all of us are the exact same with the foot of the cross. So if we're going to be reconciled to God and one another, we got to remember who we were before we were reconciled to God. But here's the second truth. Remember how you were reconciled to God. Don't just remember who you were before Christ. Remember how you became a Christian. Remember what it cost. That is what Paul is talking about here. In verse 13, it says, look, but now in Christ, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. So again, those who were far away were the Gentiles. That's you and I. We were at one point far off from God, and God brought us near. Why? Through the blood of Jesus, by the death of Jesus on the cross. We saw that in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 last week. Then we were dead in our sins. There's nothing we could do to save ourselves. And God had to send his own son to die for us. Like, it cost God his own son for us to be reconciled to him. Like, that is a costly price. And then in verse 14, it says how he is our peace. For he is our peace. For he made both groups one. And so he's our peace because Jesus is our peace with God. Because again, we were children under wrath if we're outside of Christ. So he made peace with God so we can have peace with God. And then he's also, he is our peace with one another. So we can have peace with one another. So if there is a conflict between brothers and sisters in Christ, we can have peace within that. Because Christ, it says he has torn down this wall, this dividing wall of hostility. Which means we cannot have peace with one another until we have peace with God. So true reconciliation cannot happen apart from the finished work of Christ. No earthly solution is going to resolve this. It is only by the blood of Jesus, his finished work on the cross, that we can have peace with one another and peace with God. And think about it. It said God made both groups one. These two groups hated each other. They despised each other. They wanted nothing to do with one another. They called each other pagans and dogs and awful things. Yet he's able to make both of these groups who hated each other one family. He did this, it said, by tearing down this wall of hostility that separated the two. And this word hostility, it means a state of deep-seated ill will. Like, these two groups had a lot of ill will and hate towards one another. Like, it was deeply rooted. And yet, it was only by God transforming their hearts that they could be made right with God and be made right with one another. And it's the exact same way with us. If you want to see yourself be made right with other people, other relationships you have, you got to make sure that you are made right with God first. So you're approaching it from a biblical, proper standpoint. In fact, James 4, 1 through 6, he answers this. He goes, "What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you?" You know why we have so many conflicts? It's because so often we're thinking about ourselves and trying to place ourselves number one. It's the thing about Jesus and what glorifies and honors him. You know what glorifies and honors him? Unity. Togetherness. Being one as a family. And that might be some of you. Maybe you have a dividing wall of hostility between you and someone else. And here's the thing. Jesus already tore it down. You don't need to build it back up. If you're building back up, that's sinning against God himself. And then in verse 15, it says, "He made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations." All it means is this. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." Meaning Jesus came to obey all the commands we could not. Anybody want to guess how many total laws there are in all the Old Testament? You can shout out loud. It's good. Okay. What? 256? 144? What else? Was it? Close. Keep going. Keep going. 618. Close. 625. Nope. You're so close. Oh, there's like, so here's how many. Y'all were really close. There were 613 laws. Oh, so there was a lot of you yelling, okay? There was like at once. Thanks, buddy. You were delayed like Internet Explorer, but you know what? You arrived, and I'm proud of you. And so there was 613 laws. Think about this. 613 laws. We can barely manage the Ten Commandments. Here's one. Honor your father and mother. Anybody ever dishonor their mom or dad? Even this week? Look. And it says when you break one law, you break all the laws. Think about that. You shall not bear false witness. Essentially, you shall not tell a lie. You should place no other gods before me. So anything that comes before God, so a relationship with someone, money, your reputation, that is sinning against God. And this is just a few. There are 613. And you know what? Jesus perfectly obeyed every last one. Because here's the thing, we're born with a sin nature that we're not able to keep it. We're born with a sin nature, we don't want to obey God, we want to disobey God. And if we try to obey God, it would be for our own selfish reasons. Like, look at all the nice rules I'm doing. I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm doing this. Because as we saw last week, we're born with this sin nature that cannot overcome itself. We need Christ to do this. So Jews would try to keep the law, thinking they could be right with God, and Gentiles couldn't keep the law. So Jesus says, I'm going to come in, I'm going to obey all the laws, I'm going to appease the wrath of God that everyone has, and because of that, it's going to divide this wall, so all you have to do is repent and believe in me. So that means everyone has an opportunity for salvation. This is how he broke down the barrier. This is why Jesus was able to create one new man from the two groups, resulting in peace. Because then in verse 16 it says, he did this so that he might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. So not only did he break down this wall of hostility, that was the barrier between the two, but he removed the hostility that was within their own hearts between the two groups. So he put to death not only this wall, but he put to death the thoughts of just ill will and hatred that these had towards one another. So let me ask you this, for you just think about internally, you don't have the answer left. Who are you holding ill will towards? Who are you holding a grudge against because of something that maybe they have done and that you will not let go of? You are white knuckling this and you're saying, no, I refuse because of them hurting me and I want to hurt them back because of this. Jesus' death on the cross is meant to put to death that hostility you hold on to and you will not let go of. In fact, in Ephesians 4, in a couple chapters over, we're going to see this. Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Paul says this, "Let all bitterness, anger and wrath, shouting and slander be removed from you, along with all malice." And then this, we're going to have to replace all that with something else. He says, "And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. So that begs a question for you to think about as we go through this. Who do you need to show compassion to that you are withholding compassion from? That instead you are holding bitterness or anger or wrath, or that you are slandering them or gossiping about them or spreading rumors about them? Who do you need to be kind and compassionate to? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive just as Christ forgave you? Because think about this. You might think, man, they have done all these awful things, and I don't want to disregard any awful things that they have done. Please not hear me on that. What I'm saying is, if that is Christ has forgiven you of all of your sins forever, then he empowers us to be able to forgive other people. Because here's what Jesus did in verse 17. It says, Jesus came and proclaimed the good news of peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. So those who were near were the Jews. Jesus was the promised Messiah they've been waiting centuries for. And Jesus came and was saying, the kingdom of God has come near. And there are so many Jews going, you're not my expectation of what I thought the Messiah was, so I'm going to reject you. But they also went to those who were far away, those who were outside this covenant relationship, saying, all right, Jews, you're going to keep rejecting me. I'm going to go to the Gentiles and preach it to them, and they'll accept it. Because what that means is, if he preached to those who were near and those who were far away, that shows everybody needs the gospel. Everyone needs to be saved. That's why Jesus proclaimed the gospel to everyone in the same, because everyone is the same in the eyes of God. All of us, if we are outside of Christ, we are dead in our sins in need of a Savior. All of us are even at the foot of the cross. But also, here's what John 20, verse 21 says. It says, Jesus telling his disciples, hey, just as the Father sent me into the world to tell other people about the gospel, so now I am sending you to go tell other people about the gospel. So what it means for us in 2023 is saying, Jesus saying, just as the Father sent me, so now I am sending y'all to go to your schools, to go to your sports, to go to your jobs, to go to your neighborhoods, to go to your family, your friends, so you can proclaim the gospel to them. This same peace that God has given us, peace with God and peace with one another, we are to go proclaim that and live that out to other people. In fact, in Matthew 5 verse 9, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. So we're to take this peace that Christ has given us and go show it towards other people. So here's the thing. It's hard to be a peacemaker if you're being a troublemaker. It's hard to be a peacemaker if you are stirring up trouble. It's hard to be a peacemaker if you are stirring up gossip. It's hard to be a peacemaker if you're stirring up controversy. It's hard to be a peacemaker if you are stirring up rumors. What? True or false or not? Because that's gossip. You're not being a peacemaker if you're stirring up hatred towards one another. You cannot be one or the other. You have to be one or the other. And here's the beautiful thing. We see this in verse 18. It says, for through him, through Christ, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So that means all of us have the same opportunity to be saved. We have the same access to God. And we see the Trinity on display here. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see every aspect of this. God made this plan of salvation. Jesus came and fulfilled this plan of salvation, died on the cross for our sins. He ascended. Holy Spirit came down. Now the Holy Spirit draws us unto himself to believe in Jesus and live for God. And all that brings glory to God. And here's the beautiful thing. This same Holy Spirit we have access to, the same Holy Spirit that's in you, is also in all these leaders. You didn't, when you believed in Jesus, whether it be as a child or a teenager, you didn't get a child-sized version or a teenage-sized version of the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit of the living God. The same one that's in all the leaders in here too. The same one that's in all the children in Awana. The same one that's in the men's Bible study, women's Bible study. It's in all one of those. Because all of us need the gospel. All of us need that. We need to remember how we were reconciled to God. That it cost God his own son to save us. That every time we sin, we are deserving of death. And Jesus took on that death for us. That's important for us to remember. Because when we remember that, man, remember, man, all of us are equal at the foot of the cross. All of us are in need of Jesus. That humbles us significantly. That we didn't contribute anything to our own salvation except our sin. That should humble us tremendously. So remember who you were before you were reconciled to God. Remember how you were reconciled to God. And then this third and final truth is, remember why you were reconciled to God. There's a reason why we're reconciled to God, is so we can point other people to Jesus so they can be reconciled to God. So look what it says in verse 19. It says, so then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. So we're no longer foreigners to the promises of God, as it said way back in verse 12. No, we're now citizens with the saints. Like it says in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. And so we are to live that out in our everyday life. We're members of the household of God. Here's what household means. One of the persons of a household, usually consisting of family, servants, and some extended family. So here's what this means. As I've said time and time again, if we are in Christ, we are family. We're in the same household. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And then we see, what is that built upon? Then in verse 20, he goes on, here's how this house is built. In verse 20, it says this, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. So Christ Jesus is the cornerstone of this house and who we are to build our lives around. The cornerstone is what you would build the house around. And if we don't, if you don't have the cornerstone, everything else will crumble around it. That's what we're just saying about. Christ is our firm foundation. And if our lives are built upon him, then storms can come, but it won't knock us down. If our lives are not built on the foundation of Christ, then rain's going to come and wind's going to blow and it's going to knock our house down. And it says it's built on the cornerstone of Christ and the foundation is the prophets and the apostles. There was the prophets of the Old Testament. They would say, hey, there's a Messiah that is coming later down the road. You need to believe in him. They were doing the work then. Then there was the prophets of the New Testament who were teaching God's word and proclaiming, saying he has come. You need to repent and believe in him. Then there are the apostles who God called and said, I'm going to strengthen you. Go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth and tell people about Jesus. And that's what they did. And so there are Gentile Christians today because of what the apostles did. Because of what the Old Testament prophets did, then the New Testament prophets, and then the New Testament apostles, that they continue that, telling other people about Jesus to believe in him. That is why you and I are able to be here today, is because they were faithful to stay together and go tell other people about Jesus and how they are to be saved. Because they were faithful to tell other people, that slowly spread throughout the world. Eventually spread to people that shared the gospel with you and how you were saved. And now we are building on that cornerstone. We're building on that foundation. And so we're to go tell other people about Jesus. That we are bricks being put on this house. And we're to tell our people how they're to be part of this. Because in verse 21, it says, in him, the whole building being put together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So this is Jews and Gentiles together, being brought together in Christ. And he grows us in holiness. It says that in 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all of your conduct. Think about this. It says the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, the physical temple of God is where like the presence and glory of God would be. And so that's why they would pick it up and follow it. That's why they would go towards it. But now in the New Testament, in this new covenant, the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the glory of God now lives within every person that believes in him. We are now a temple of the living God. And in the temple is where worship happened. And so which means our hearts are where we are to worship God. And that will overflow into every aspect of our life. So that begs the question for you. Is your heart right with God? Are you worshiping God with all of your heart? Or are there certain aspects of your conduct that you know would not be glorifying to God? And here's what it says in verse 22. It says, in Christ, in him, you are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is to dwell among the church, among other believers. In fact, listen to what Jesus prayed for. So before Jesus was going to go die on the cross, he had this high priestly prayer. And listen to what his prayer was for believers today, for you and I here in this room now. Here's what he says in John 17, 20 through 23. I pray not only for these, but also for all those who believe in me through their word, through our word, sharing it with other people. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me so that they may be made completely one, so that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So we are to live out the gospel in our lives, in our relationships with one another. So let me ask this. If we are to be one, if we're to live as one, and that's one way the world is going to know that Jesus is real and believe in the gospel, how can we show that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one if we are not acting as one, but we are divided? If we're making our own little cliques, that distorts the message of the gospel and our witness to the world. Actually, here's a great way for us to put it. I'm gonna need a few people to help me with this. Give me a second. Okay, fine. You'll represent Gloucester High School. Come on up. Who goes to Peasley Middle School? Peasley. Okay, let's do Camden. Let's do you. We'll do two people from Peasley. Who goes to Page? Layla, you're up. Cooper, you're up. Hold on. I'm getting there. Give me a second. Let me get one more girl from Gloucester High School. So I want to make sure it's evenly represented. Addie, come on up. Come on. All right, homeschool, different co-ops.
Lincoln.
We'll do. Hold on. Valerie, you come up. Tristan, you come up. Brendan, you come up. Tammy, you come up. Jacob, you come up. Anybody private school? I want to make sure I don't miss anyone. Make sure.
Private school.
Come on up, Jackson. Why not? We want to represent. All right, so look, I want y'all to look up here for this, right? All of these people, I want y'all to stand in a line, like a solid line. Make sure you back up so all you can be, like, be in an even line. So y'all out here, y'all are representing the world around us. Y'all are representing maybe family members, friends, loved ones who are not believers. And it says in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, it says the church is meant to be a light. We're shining our light bright. We're to be a city on a hill. So you can't miss that. So what I want y'all to do, I want y'all to face one another. Just look towards one another. Look at this. If y'all are facing towards one another, what are you not doing? You're not looking out the world here, right? Or let's say some of you get into a fight. Let's say some of you are like, man, I don't like how some of these people are. So you're going to come over here. Man, I don't like how these people dress. I don't like how they act. These people don't have the same beliefs as me. These people dress differently. Maybe they have different political beliefs. I think they're weird. Whatever the case is. Look at all these different groups. When you look at this, what do you see? You don't see one united group. You see several different groups separated from one another. You see several groups separated from one another. And you know what? In many ways, that's what the world sees when they look at the church. They see different groups all divided up saying, man, they have all these in-house fighting. They're fighting over these different things. Why would I want to be a part of that when it's the exact same way out here? But instead, what it should be is, I want all y'all to make an even line, shoulder to shoulder, looking out this way. Like all together. So if you need a backup, please back up so that we can include everyone, okay? Here, back up just a little bit. Okay. Now move forward. Help me out here. Come on. But then look at this. But then when the world looks up and they see this united front, they see everyone standing shoulder to shoulder. Instead of fighting one another, as we're so often doing, they're looking out towards the world saying, man, this world needs Jesus. This world needs to know about Jesus and believe in him. And when they're united as one, man, the world's going to look and go, okay, well, that person's from that background, and that person's from that background, and that person's with this. How are they all together as one? And here's the reason. It's because of Jesus. They're all one because of Jesus. Hey, guys. Please knock it off, please. They're all one because of Jesus. And this is exactly what the world should see. The world should come and impact and go, man, these people like actually like each other and love each other and care about each other. There's different backgrounds and different sports and different things, and yet there's no cliques. They're just all one family. And that's exactly how it should be. So let me ask you this then. What is cost? What is you letting get in the way of us living like this? One more important way is, here's a few application things I want you to realize. Remember what your life was before Christ and how much He has grown you. I want you to remember that. Remember what it cost God to bring you into a right relationship with Him. Here's the one that might be really difficult for some of y'all. If there are people you need to be made right with, you need to do that tonight. Maybe there are some of you, that's the reason why you are sitting where you are sitting. It's because you don't want to sit near that person. Maybe that's why you do some of these things. And you know what? That breaks the heart of God. In fact, it says in Matthew where it talks about, like, man, if you have this worship offering, you need to leave that offering at the altar and go and be made right with your brother and sister and then come back. That only means you can be in the middle of this worship service saying, man, I need to make a phone call. I need to make a text. I need to go to someone and make things right. Before you even go to small group, if you need to make things right with someone, you need to do that tonight. And lastly, we must live unified under the gospel to advance the gospel. Then we are looked as one. People are going, man, there's this all this crazy group of people, yet they love Jesus, and they're all doing it together. And that's going to cause the world to get their attention. Saying, what is so different about them? Say, man, it's Jesus. That's why. Because we are to be reconciled to God, and we're reconciled to God, we're to be reconciled to one another. When we do that, we'll be one, and we'll be able to live this out. And this is the gospel truly lived out. So let's pray, and then we'll go into small groups and talk about it more. So dear Lord, thank you so much just for this time. And Lord, I pray even tonight, just as we talk about this, if there is people in this room that they're holding hostility towards someone, whether it be within this room or outside this room, I pray, Lord, would you just put that to death tonight through your Son? I pray if there's people that they're wrestling with hostility in their heart, you give them peace as only you can. I pray, Lord, if there is anything that's in our hearts that's causing us to not befriend other people, man, would you just work on our hearts for that? Help us be one in Christ as you called us to be. That way, when we live as one, the world's going to look and go, man, what's different about them? And we can only do it apart from Christ. This is not possible without Christ. So Jesus, would you work in our hearts as only you can? Would you reconcile us to God as only you can? Would you reconcile us to one another as only you can? And help us never get over the power of the gospel that we need to preach to ourselves every single day, our daily need for you, and then go into a world that needs it to be able to tell them about how they can have peace with God and peace with one another. Bless this time as we now enter into small groups. And it's your name we pray. Amen.